August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use. Prepare for your autumn wardrobe and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now how I tell you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101. Brendan, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to be back. Love doing the rundowns. Man, there's a lot to talk about here today, as there usually is during these events, but happy to be back, my friend.
Absolutely. I think we got to jump right off with the cold card wallet hack. I'll bring that up. It's one of the bigger hacks for wallets. They're calling it the worst hardware wallet hack in Bitcoin history. But there's some nuance to this that you need to understand. And it comes down to it really was the company's fault. And it's been, you know, we don't want to see anybody lose money. It's obviously very sad when that happens. And it's one of those things where you got to do your research and find the right companies and do the right things. Any insight into this hack and the exploit that was really through the company? It wasn't a blockchain breach or an AI quantum threat. Yeah. And you got to be careful because there's people that are going to run with this narrative and kind of take it down that rabbit hole. But it was simply just kind of, I don't think it was a bad actor as in nefarious, like an SBF.
Yeah.
But a bad actor nonetheless of not doing their customers due diligence.
Yeah, I think it was a bit more of carelessness as opposed to intentionality, if that makes sense. Maybe a little bit of corner cutting, maybe just a little bit of ignorance, you know, really not sure. But I think you made a good point here, and that the main takeaway is not that wallets aren't safe, Bitcoin isn't safe, blockchains aren't safe. That's a misunderstanding of what happened here. And you're right, it was on the fault of the company and the firmware. And this talks about it a little bit. It's actually a really good article you pulled up, TiVo. Here from X, but it's really due to the company, and it comes down to how they created those seeds, right? Is it purely random? Is it predictable? Well, as it says in this post, it's a firmware bug. So it's not to say, oh my gosh, all wallets are no longer safe. The blockchain itself is not safe. That's not at all what happened here. And so that's a misunderstanding. I think you are going to see people run with that. It's a bit of a theme right now, and we'll have another post that we can kind of show to talk about this a little bit more. But the theme right now, and the cool thing that'll get clicks and attention and whatever, is this idea that nothing's safe anymore, right? Nothing's safe. Blockchain, not blockchain. The normal world. AI is coming after you. OpenAI has and ChatGPT has been able to go and breach security of companies, and Anthropic's doing this left and right. They're putting it in test environments, and it's breaking out and it's hacking companies. All of a sudden, there's this news that Bitcoin's not safe and blockchains aren't safe. It's just the popular thing right now, and again, it's to get clicks. Now, this did actually happen. It is super unfortunate, but again, it's not because Bitcoin or the blockchain or wallets as a whole are no longer safe because of quantum or AI or any of that bullcrap. It's a misunderstanding of it. And so if you go to the next one that we had kind of talking about this, this was coming, I believe, from the BitGo CEO or one of the BitGo executives. And
friend of the show, Mike Belshi.
Yes. What he says here is he's like seeing all this get posted, and he was basically like, guys, I'll put up 100 Bitcoin in a wallet. And he makes a good point because he says either Anthropic AI is terrible about building these sandboxes, or this is just really great marketing. Maybe it's both, but enough of like, oh, we've created this thing and it's hacking everywhere and nothing's safe anymore. And people feeding into this narrative, he's like, you know what? I will put 100 Bitcoin in a wallet. Go get it. And that's a lot, right? You do the math, 100 Bitcoin at the current price. I think most people look at that and be like, if I have something that can truly hack these wallets, I'll go get that. And he's putting a target on its back. He's telling you the address. He's telling you how much is in there. And if things are truly as good and great as it appears to be, quotations, right? Well, there, it's 100 Bitcoin reward if you have the capabilities. Now, obviously, I don't think he believes it's going where. We don't believe it's going anywhere. It's just a test to say, hey, he's publicly willing to kind of put this out there because there's this narrative that nothing's safe. He's challenging it and saying it's perfectly safe. Let me give you all the information that you need to go and get access to this stuff if you truly have the capabilities. And it's just going to sit there, right? Nothing's going to happen to it. So I like this. You know, this is, I would say, genius marketing from friend of the show. BitGo over there. I like this. I saw this and I was like, this is smart.
That's fun. It's a unique way to try to take back the narrative. Because again, this snowballs, and especially when the mainstream media or the finance media, and they don't have all the facts, or even sometimes when a story like this breaks, people don't even care to have all the facts. They just want to run with it. Like, oh, hack Bitcoin, this, that. I know there's big buzzwords that they can then bring to their show or their column or their article, and they don't have to be factually right because, again, the game that, you know, I think we try to more go educational route, and we try to have fun on the show and be entertaining. But a lot of the people that are going just for clicks, they get paid per click, they get paid per view. And so it doesn't truly matter whether it's factual or not. And so that's what we're trying to debunk here. That's what Belshi's fighting against. That's what we try to do here on the platform is educate. And one of our education and tips and for everybody in the space is keeping your crypto safe. And so when something like this comes, we talk to the team. Obviously, we have tons of free content, countless hours on YouTube and podcasting. But we do have some more in-depth stuff behind the community that a lot of people are involved with as well. And so when we do the shows, we like to have a promo. And so for this, with this specific topic and situation happening, we have our ultimate guide to keeping your crypto safe. It's the new updated ultimate guide to keeping your crypto safe today for just $3 during this promo for the show. Check the description below on YouTube and on the podcast. We really, you know, we want everybody to keep their crypto safe. This is an ever-changing landscape of, you know, kind of understanding what you do. If you're a hard wallet or you're keeping on exchanges, we run down through the whole thing. Normally, I think this is like a $100 product. But when you see something like this, we want to make sure it gets into everybody's hands. So today on the show, $3, the new ultimate guide to keeping your crypto safe. Check the links below as we move on in the show. Brendan, BlackRock continuing to build. Larry Fink putting his money where his mouth is, announcing a partnership with Ethereum on some tokenized money funds. And then you brought up as well that you saw Solana. So let's walk through both of those.
Yeah, this has been a big theme that we've talked about internally, if you guys are members over here, or if you just watch the rundowns. A big theme has been tokenization. In fact, we have, you know, one of our groups, we just did a whole report on this with last Friday. Shout out to all of you who joined. But we've been talking a lot about how tokenization is one of the big areas to keep an eye out on here. And that is a big push, right? Robinhood's doing it. You see BlackRock doing it. You see crypto native players obviously being a part of this. There's people everywhere, right? Traditional finance, asset managers, banks, or native crypto projects all doing this. And it's exploding in terms of growth over the last couple of years here, especially in the last year or so. But yeah, BlackRock here has launched two new tokenized money market funds. The first one that you have on the screen here is the $6.2 billion BlackRock Select Treasury fund. And then we have a second one here, which is BRX SRV alongside it. So this is really cool. This is basically the Ethereum side of things. And then if we go over to the Solana one, which was just announced as well, they are filing here with the SEC to issue a tokenized fund of shares on Solana. So listen, I know there's a lot of maxis out there who think everything's going to be Ethereum, everything's going to be Solana, everything's going to be one or the other. Over here, we like them both, right? We've had both of the teams on the show. We've had some of the key, most core Ethereum developers. We've had some of the earliest Bitcoin developers. We've had the Solana team on countless times. We believe in all three. I don't think it has to be an all or nothing or one chain wins all scenario. And there's a reason why BlackRock's looking at this and saying, let's do this kind of thing on Ethereum and on Solana. And I don't really see either going anywhere. So it's a big news. I think what this does is it helps solidify the place of Solana and Ethereum, right? Because there's this fear of like, oh, well, what if this all disappears? What if it goes anywhere? Guys, they want to be building this. You have the largest asset manager in the world spending billions of dollars or creating billions of dollars in these products. And I think that what that does is that helps solidifies the place that these assets sit as infrastructure for the long term. So I like this. If you're a Solana fan, it's good news. If you're an Ethereum fan, it's good news. If you have exposure to tokenization, it's probably really good news for you. So good stuff here.
I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last-minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't, just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak. 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply.
Yeah, the building continues. Again, that's been the theme of this show. Before we move on, we want to give a shout out to the chat. A little active here on a Tuesday afternoon. You love to see that. Michael, formerly known as East Coast Lobster from Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's an international rundown today. We've got Dr. Bob in California. I'll be heading out to California later this week. And then Joe B from the Villages in Florida, fellow Florida man. Love to see that. We got John in here as well. Let us know where you're watching in from, John, and anybody else in the chat. We really appreciate everybody listening. Give us a thumbs up, bottom right if you're new. Hit the subscribe button. We do this multiple times a week. have a lot of fun and keep you informed in the crypto markets. And one thing going on in the crypto markets, it just, you got to call a spade, Brendan. And at face value, you might not like this, but I think over time, this is, again, the bottoming process is stuff that we like to talk about, is trading activity is declining. Mm-hmm. And I think you can look at this from both sides. You're an active trader, so I'll tee this as a thought and get your opinion on it. When trading activity is declining like this, kind of seeing it of its lowest levels of the year, it is kind of a sign of it could be, you could add this to the data of the bottoming process again, right? Because trading volume doesn't mean necessarily price is going up. You get huge spikes of trading volume when price is going down and the volatility, because people want to sell and get out of their positions. So I kind of look at this as I add it to the box of my bottoming process. We've done a lot of data over the last couple months of kind of ticking the box of, hey, this is kind of something that looks like when we start the bottoming process. And again, nobody can pick the exact bottom of the tick, but trading activity is declining. Do you agree with that? Disagree? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would largely agree. I think that this is the kind of thing that you see in every bear cycle, right? It's not anything different. As the bear market goes on, it makes sense that there's less traders, right? People are losing money, people are getting liquidated, etc. When the market's going up and you're in a euphoric bull market, there's always going to be more trading activity, more volume, probably more liquidity, and there's just naturally going to be less as the bear market goes on. But that's what help feeds into the final capitulation moment, right? Because people are giving up, they aren't trading. That's what capitulation is. And you see that at the bottom of every cycle pretty much. So this doesn't shock me. In fact, I would say that it somewhat motivates me to say, hey, personally, again, no one is a crystal ball, but I think that we are entering into what could be the final stages of this bear market. I think if you're going off past cycles, you would expect that to probably happen sometime around the fall of this year, maybe earlier, maybe a little bit later, but roughly around then. And then I think if you're looking at similarities, other similarities, whether it's technicals or fundamentals, or even just doing historical analysis, this is the kind of thing that you would expect to see at the trough of a bear market before things actually do turn around. So I like that you brought that up, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to look at this and they're going to go, oh my gosh, it's another reason why I shouldn't be looking at crypto. I would actually flip it on its head here and say that this is a reason why you should start looking at crypto, especially if you see this start to flip and accelerate back to the upside. If you start seeing flows increasing from net negative to net positive, if you start seeing trading activity increasing, if you start seeing some of these cryptos breaking out to like new swing highs above some of those key moving averages again, I would say really start to keep an eye on it, because it's once we get to this point that you look for that final point of capitulation. And it's when you least expect it, kind of when it's at its darkest, that the turnaround itself happens. And, you know, that's what makes it a turnaround, right? Most people have given up. Most people have started looking elsewhere. And there we go.
And you can't be in the darkness without extreme fear. And we kind of are doing the classics, but we haven't really been checking in too much, because it's just been what it is. We're in fear. And so you can't hit that darkest before the dawn mentality without this extreme fear. And again, we've basically, this is one chart. I'm trying to see if we've even broken out of fear all summer. Because again, beginning of June, we popped down. We were in the 10. We went down to the single digits. We went down to 8. And then looks like our high for the summer on this indicator was 33. So I'm not quite sure where 33 might land us. I think that might be fear still, honestly. So it looks like we've had a summer of fear and extreme fear. And then again, something we haven't looked at in a while is the, again, trends. It's all the same stuff, right? Trading, trends, extreme fear. It's the lowest, it's just the lowest right now. And so, you could take that as one way, as you can sell and go home, take your ball, go home, as they say, or this is where you want to dive in and do the research and try to find the long-term, investments and places that you want to, park your money and make it work for you and try to find out what the future of finance could be. And again, you can only make those decisions. We don't give personal financial advice, but, even the famous Warren Buffett, says, you want to buy when there's blood in the streets, right? So, it just definitely feels like one of those times as we continue to try to do the research, find the bright spots, which we've had, right? We had a Robinhood summer earlier in July. That was a fun one. I know Brian and Joe are picking some winners. I know you and your trading course, you have had some breakouts and playing some momentum yourself. But also we've talked about me and you, how, you know, me specifically, I'm not much of a momentum trader, but I like to, you know, at this point in time, I have the long-term buys on. I'm not thinking about it. I'm just, you know, every week, a little bit of Bitcoin, a little bit of Ethereum is what I got going right now. And I don't even think about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm, you know, I have a saying over here where there's a time to step on the gas, there's a time to hit the brakes, and then there's just a time to coast. And I think when things are the most uncertain, it's okay to coast a little bit or even hit the brakes. And then, you know, you just have to be able to identify, like, when things are hot, that's when you want to use the capital, that's when you want to step on the gas, and that's when you want to do a lot of altcoin trading. It's something that we talk about a lot over here. I know inside the trading program and other stuff internally, that's something I really do try to hammer home, is because when altcoin season is hot, it's hot, then it's really hot and it's really fast and it is the thing to trade. I think the mistake that a lot of people do that we talk about is that a lot of people mistake and think, oh, I'm always going to step full gas pedal on altcoins at all stages of the market cycle. And that's just not really ideal. It's not optimal. It's not always the best risk versus reward either. You know, again, there's a time where altcoins are hot and they're outperforming Bitcoin and large caps and equities and stocks and everything else. And it's being able to identify that and then stepping on the gas when altcoins are hot is like, that's where you just make stupid money. And by avoiding the downside, I would say that that's equally as important as well. So, yeah, I would agree. You know, right now, you know, there's absolutely still trades out there. We're in a bit more of a popcorn season. So you see select altcoins kind of popping off, or the whole market kind of chills and it's found a nice little bottom here since February for the most part. But you have things chopping around a little bit while select altcoins pop off. I'd love to see that turnaround happen. And again, I think that's when you really start to see the potential come back.
Yeah. And again, while there's volatility, a lot of people selling, you know, they say retailers selling during this, they're not the only one. Michael Saylor continues to sell. I think it's a great use of verbiage here, increased its USD reserve. But also that's how do you increase the USD reserve? You sell some Bitcoin. So Saylor continues to sell some Bitcoin, and his strategy here is buying Stretch, trying to get that back to par. So I guess we can, X has this cool new feature where it gives you the charts here. Let's see. I haven't played around with this yet, but as you can see, kind of the month or the week, I think it's like up almost 5% on the week, 4.7 on this chart. There was a lot of people on the timeline I saw actually playing that trade. I saw somebody was getting trolled by the All In podcast for selling Micron and buying Stretch at like 85 or something. Jason started trolling him, and he just retweeted it the other day. I didn't save the link, but it was like, hey, Jason, how did this trade work out? You know, closing it out, you know, whatever. So people were playing the trade there, and it makes sense because, you know, in the sense that I'm not advocating for this. I'm not in this trade at all, full disclosure. But it is interesting because Saylor is focusing his capital right now across the board to seemingly try to get Stretch back to par, or let me correct me if I'm wrong, Brendan, but like basically just trying to keep the confidence in the product, the high dividend product, more so than, you know, stacking the Bitcoin. So it feels like you know, if it ever got down too far, it felt, I guess, Monday morning quarterback, it seemed like a decent enough trade.
Yeah, I think with this, you know, obviously, listen, I've been a skeptic. They're trying so hard here to keep confidence in strategy and in Stretch and all of this. They just, it's unfortunate that they're coming out again and selling even more here. And it's gotten, I think they've started to get a decent amount of beef. And the skeptics have come out because Michael Saylor himself had to issue a statement. And you had the CEO, I believe, of Strategy go on CNBC or Bloomberg or one of those big shows. And he was even talking about this. And Michael Saylor basically came out with this big post saying, like, hey, guys, I've always said I was never going to sell Bitcoin, but I never said Strategy wasn't. And it's kind of a little bit of a change in the narrative of what he's saying. Is he, like, technically wrong? You know, maybe not. But I think a lot of people would feel just, again, a little bit misled there. He's saying, well, I would never sell Bitcoin. I haven't sold any. But Strategy is a business and we have to. And again, they're doing this to support a product, which I have been a little bit of skeptic of. I understand why they have to do it, right? They're trying to keep it afloat. They're trying to keep confidence. It would be really, really bad if it just blew up in their face. So they almost have to. But You know my stance. My stance on this is I would prefer Stretch doesn't exist. I would prefer if they just use their old business model and they just try to continually purchase more Bitcoin, use it as a treasury. And yeah, that's really where I stand. I think that they're trying to do too much here. They're already below average cost. That's the issue I have, is that they've always had this marketing narrative, whether it was their actual policy or not. The marketing narrative was, you'll never have to, you should never sell your Bitcoin. You'll never have to sell your Bitcoin. We'll never have to sell our Bitcoin. That's kind of been the rough marketing narrative that they've had. And then the issue now is that they're consistently selling. I mean, we talked about a month or so ago, they were net negative. And so now they're coming out and they're selling again and selling again. And this is all happening while they're below cost basis. So people are looking at it and they're saying, okay, well, why should we be the ones buying Bitcoin when you guys are continually selling? Like, what if we just mimic what you guys do? You guys are the big Bitcoin company. Well, what if we're just going to go start selling our Bitcoin too? It's right. You know, they should lead by example is, I guess, what I'm trying to say here. Again, I understand it's a business. They have to do some of this stuff. It's a necessity. But again, I think they should lead by example. And I don't think people like the idea that not only are they selling, but they're selling below cost basis, right? I think their cost basis is like around 75,000, which they say doesn't matter too much, but it's in the red. Will it go back? I think it will, right? I think we're going to go well above 75K or whatever it is. Then we'll go back above 100K for Bitcoin. I'm not worried about that. It's just the concept of, if they're the ones trying to lead by example, selling below cost basis, then what does that say to the average person who isn't like, you know, Tivo? They're not like you. They're not like me. They're not in this as much. I think that has fed into some of the panic selling a little bit. So I would love to see the buy programs turn back on. I don't think it's a good look that you see them buying treasuries or getting in the treasuries or, you know, whatever it is and raising cash. And they're saying, oh, look at all this new cash that we have on our balance sheet. It's like, guys, we don't follow you for that. They've always been like anti all of that and pro Bitcoin. So I think instead of raising, you know, their USD reserve, like this says, yeah, Strategy increases the USD reserve, the 250 million or buy 250 million. All of a sudden now they have 4 billion here and they're going to repurchase. It's like, okay, well, let's use that. Let's go buy some Bitcoin here. Let's turn it back on. Stop selling, start buying. I'm done with my rant, but listen, I have the same thoughts on this. I really wish that they would just become more of a net buyer of Bitcoin, hold for the long term, and create yields off of those products and not really Stretch.
No, it's all great points and a good rant. And apologies for my end. I think I was doing some testing and it looks like my video is not coming in clear. I certainly hope my audio is to everybody watching the live. Give us a thumbs up if the audio is coming in clear. I apologize for the video, a little grainy today. As we move on to the next topic, just wanted to say sorry to the live watchers out there. We'll get it dialed in, just a little internet issue, I guess. I wanted to touch base on all the negativity kind of seems to stem, at least right now. Again, the narrative's always changed, but from the Clarity Act. So the Clarity Act odds are at its lowest it's been in a while. And that's because August recess at this point looks like it's going to happen without a vote. And then when they come back, who's to say that we would even get a vote leading into the midterms, right? And I promoted this episode. It's live. It's Chris Giancarlo, former CFTC chairman that Bryce sat down with at the conference we were at a couple weeks ago. The episode is live, so I think some of people, definitely the podcast listeners, have watched it. But if you haven't, you want to go back and listen to it, and I'm going to play a 90-second clip here. And he explains why, in his mind, maybe the Clarity Act does not matter and how crypto will move forward with or without the Clarity Act. And so those are the narratives that I find my most interesting right now, especially, again, anybody can say that. I could say that, Brendan Bryce, or anybody could say that. But coming from a former CFTC chairman who still has the relationships with the SEC and the CFTC, who knows these people personally who are in the positions now, he lays out the case. So let's hear it from him.
It doesn't matter as much as people think. I think if anything, we've made too big of a deal.
That's a hot take. I like that.
If crypto, if the Clarity Act doesn't pass, the world goes on. The internet changed the world in the last 30 years, and there's no authorizing statute.
Okay? Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. If we don't get a Clarity Act, these innovations are going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
First of all, Wall Street is all in. There's no turning back on what DTCC is doing,
right,
what Franklin Templeton is doing. All of this is going to go forward, whether Clarity passes or not. This is not going away. And if the pendulum fully swings 2 years from now, and suddenly Elizabeth Warren is going to be president. She's not going to rip this out of the ground. It's going to be too built in.
Yeah.
In fact, her wing of the party has already moved on from anti-crypto to anti-AI.
Yeah.
The Luddites have found a new target for their desire to stop all progress. It's now AI. Crypto is too ingrained. Yeah. So all of this is going to happen. Builders out there, keep building. If this doesn't pass, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
The world goes on. The third wave of the internet is coming. It's here. It's not going back.
Yep.
We're already moving on. I hope it passes. I think there's some good things in it. One of the things that's in it is...
So we'll pause it there because, again, the summary was keep building. It's too ingrained. And in the fuller episode dives into why he thinks that. Bryce asked some great questions to kind of dive into that thought. And it was, hey, whether this passes or not, and he kind of relayed back to who's the SEC chair, who's the CFTC chair now. You know, they have programs that they, in their leadership positions, that they can enact to keep this going. And then again, 2 years from now, his main point there, before I hand it off to you, Brendan, hear your thoughts, is that this thing's going to be too ingrained. Like, you know, even if, like you said, if Liz Warren becomes president, it's too ingrained. You won't be able to unravel it. It's like unraveling the internet. Right? How can we roll back the internet today? It's just not possible with how we live.
Yeah, I think it is very much like that, right? It's once it's there and once the infrastructure there is there, it is, you're economically shooting yourself in the foot. I was going to say it's economic suicide. Maybe that's like bold. But if you have all these big financial institutions with billions of dollars tied up in money and clients, it's like, all right, were you going to make all the clients mad? Are you going to make all the banks mad? Are you going to make all the institutional, the asset managers mad? Are you going to just like piss off everyone, like the big institutions with all the money and the average people who have their money tied up in this? And you're going to hurt both of them? It's just, it's not only is it like stupid from a financial standpoint, but it's really, really stupid from like a political standpoint. It's like, let's piss off all the people who matter the most if you're going to go rip it out of the ground after it's already there. Now, it's one thing to prevent it before it's done. It's another thing to have it already done and everything settled in and people using it and the money have been spent and then trying to go and get rid of it. So I completely agree with him there. I think that he's spot on. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Fantastic. And then we'll wrap out if our bottoming data, if the data that we presented to you over the last couple months here doesn't show you that we think we're heading into the bottom, there is certainly one data point that everyone can agree on. And it's Jim Cramer selling his Bitcoin or saying that he's going to go sell all his Bitcoin. It was something. Here's the one. Here's the tweet. Jim Cramer has said he's reportedly selling all his Bitcoin per CoinDesk. He mentioned it a couple times on his show as well. And then the entire crypto community is just saying, like, hey, we're back. I can't play it because there's music attached to it. But everybody remembers that scene from The Hangover where they're all just screaming in the car that they're back. Again, that's my last data point for the day. If I can't convince you that fear and greed index has been in fear all summer, the volume of trading is going down. Sailor selling his Bitcoin and it's not rocketing the price of Bitcoin lower, and searches and trends are at the year low as well. I got one more for you. It's Jim Cramer selling his Bitcoin for the reverse Cramer play to the upside.
Yeah, it's when I saw that, it put a big old smile on my face because of that whole inverse Cramer theory that we have, TiVo, and we'll see, right? Fingers crossed. The inverse Cramer index is up. I think, could be wrong, I think it outperformed Nancy Pelosi last year, or it was right up there with it. It was like really, really good performance. Historically, it is. Obviously, love Jim Cramer. No shade thrown at him, but this is kind of a meme. It's like, hey, whatever he says, just like do the opposite of, especially when it's these big, like notable events, like sell everything or go all in on this or something like that. It tends to be a good turnaround. And I think what this does is it feeds into the whole capitulation story that we've said, right? When there's max fear, max pain, everyone gives up, they capitulate, they throw in the towel, and then the bottom happens. And what better sign of this stuff happening than more stuff like this, right? We've shown this before where you need to have a blow-up event. We saw that happen, right? Just last week, we talked about it with BitMEX and all those other places that went under. And then you go and you look at the rest of them that have all blown up. And then you look at, you know, crypto trading and volume falling and activity falling. And then Jim Cramer saying sell everything. And it's like, that is what the full max pain capitulation looks like before a turnaround happens. So not saying it's already happened, but again, it's something I'm actively looking for here. If not right now, then hopefully in the next few months, I would really be looking for that. So maybe we get one more sweep of the lows. You know, maybe that's possible, but I'll tell you what, I'm still looking for it nonetheless.
It's a great point to wrap up on, as we have over 100 live viewers this show. So we really appreciate everybody tuning in on a Tuesday. If you missed the beginning, definitely go back once we end here and watch the top. You want to make sure you hear about the wallet hack that was going on. And again, for this show only, we're running a promo for the new ultimate guide to keeping your crypto safe. Again, the hack drained over, at this point, I think it's over $120 million gone overnight. And, you know, as we think, the bottoming process is happening. The next bull run is lining up. So you got to update what you know to keep your crypto safe. Check the link below. It's a $3 promo. I mean, I think this thing goes traditionally for $100. So $3 promo, the new ultimate guide to keeping your crypto safe. Check it out in the description. Support the show because we love doing this for free. The least you can do, if you're a returning member, give us a thumbs up. It helps us grow the show. And if you're new, bottom right, hit the logo to subscribe. We really appreciate everybody tuning in on Tuesday. We got more, let's see if the podcast is going out. I got another Bryce interview going out this week, and we'll be back again on Friday for another rundown. The content keeps coming. The crypto train does not stop. But that's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. That's all for now. Goodbye, everybody.